Good morning, warm greetings to everyone in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You look at the messages that we have touched on, you realize that on the 20th of July, 2021, we studied the final moments of Joshua's life. And this morning, we're going to look at Joshua's beginning of his service. Joshua 24 describes the end of his service, where many of us would remember the very well-known verse, "Choose you this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." That's how Joshua's life ended. Here we are going to look at his beginning. He had been trained by Moses for the past 40 years of his life. He was introduced to us very early after they came out of Egypt. He was a young man. He was a fighting man. He was a leader, but he needed pupillage. And so he followed Moses, and he was the only individual that was permitted by God to go up to Mount Sinai, while the rest of the leaders, including Aaron, were told to go back down. And he did not go all the way up, but he remained probably halfway. And we are told that in the first account, when God gave to Moses the two tablets of stones with the Ten Commandments written on it, as Moses was walking down the mountain, Joshua was there waiting for him. And so that was Joshua being trained by God for this moment in his life. The phrase, "quit ye like men," is of course taken from the New Testament in 1 Corinthians. It simply means be strong and of a good courage. And so this is a good title to describe Joshua's beginning. Apparently he was maybe a little nervous, timid even. And no one could blame him. Imagine you are now in charge of 2 million plus lives or more. That is an awesome, frightening responsibility. Where you have the souls of 2 million men, women, and children depending on your faith in Christ, how you relate to God, what you say, what you do next, their entire future depends on you. And if you look at it from a bigger picture, the whole world depends on Joshua, because Jesus must be born of a nationality. And God had designed a nation whereby the Lord himself will be known as an Israelite or a Jew from the tribe of Judah. And that would not happen if Joshua failed the Lord and not conquer the final portion of the promised land. Now, this was his heart and fear. Serving under Moses was pretty easy, I would assume, because there is this cover of leadership whereby if you did anything wrong, God will go to Moses. Moses would be the shield that will keep Joshua safe as he made mistakes along the way, as he observed and learned from his teacher, Moses. He would be given a lot of discount because he was not the leader. I experienced that for many years, and I felt very comfortable as an assistant pastor to Dr. Toh. He was there, he was the front man, as it were. And so there were at least a couple of occasions where Dr. Toh was called up by the police because of the banner. I was also part of the team, many of us were, but we were not called. He was the editor. They interviewed or interrogated him, and then they warned him because he was very courageous to write a lot of things and expose, especially the errors of the ecumenical movement and the Roman Catholic teaching and beliefs, that they are not of Christ. And so he faced the brunt of all the issues and confrontations by the enemies, as it were. And then, little by little, I realized that when Dr. To fell ill, even though he was still with us, but he was not able to do many of the duties and deeds of a senior pastor. Then I realized how frightening it was. Now I will be in the forefront. There will be no more a leader in front to shield me, to protect me, if I were to do something, say something, write something that may offend the enemies. And this time round, I would be the one who will be called. Frightened, that is not a word that is strong enough to describe how I felt. And we are not talking about 2 million people. We're not talking about the whole world depending on what Joshua was about to do. We are talking about only a few hundred lives. And I was frightened to death. Because one day I have to stand before God and give an account of how God's people are watched over, fed, protected, nurtured. Have I given my best, my utmost? Multiply what Joshua had to endure 1,000 times. Because I think many of us, when you begin your life as a husband and then a father, and then when you are in your workplace, the more you are promoted, the more you have people below you depending on your leadership and your responsibilities. If you are in charge of a ministry, you can understand a little bit about how Joshua must have felt when God said to him, "Quit ye like a man, be strong and of a good courage." Now, this is the background. And so when you look at Joshua, we are going to focus from verse 1 to verse 9 for our first sermon message. The first thing we have to bear in mind is the one who has saved you, the source of our strength and courage. Now you notice how the Lord made it very clear to Joshua. "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister," the minister of Moses, "saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel." God first and foremost made it clear, your position and Moses' position, he was known as the servant of the Lord, and the Lord said, "Moses, my servant." He did not say to Joshua, "You are my servant." He said to Joshua, "You are Moses' servant. You are Moses' pupil, disciple." In other words, you have not been serving me directly as a leader yet, as it were. Of course, he was serving the Lord through Moses, and he obeyed Moses tremendously, and he learned, and he observed, and he watched. But the Lord made it clear, earning the title, the servant of the Lord, takes a lifetime of service. And therefore, we need to know whom we are serving. And that means we have to go back to the day of our salvation. It is so easy for us to lose track of this source of our service in the busyness and the burden and the cares of family life. The deceitfulness of riches are very deadly combinations that can make us forget. We have to know that we are serving the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the source that must be the one that we turn to for strength and courage. There are many other avenues where people can be very strong and courageous. You look at this man who has the gumption and the power and the money to buy Twitter, right? That costs a few billion, a lot of billions. You and I won't even dare to have that kind of strength and courage to even mention, I want to buy you Twitter. He buys shares upon shares upon shares until what? I think he has the largest number of shares or something to that effect. Strength and courage in money. He demonstrated that to the whole world. Richest man on earth, I think he is. I want to mention his name. I'm sure you know his name better than me. You know his background better than me. I just read the headlines and that's it. Not interested. I don't have any Twitter account or any of these things, but I'm sure it's worth billions and a lot of people are involved. Strength and courage can come from many, many directions. More money you have, the more strength and courage you have. You see some people come to church and they are multimillionaire and they're not ashamed to let you know. And they walk in, they might drive in their fancy cars and before they turn off the engine, they vroom, vroom, vroom a few times to let you know that he has arrived. In other words, telling us that you need me more than I need you, kind of a mentality. And you think you have not seen this kind of behavior? Thank God it did not have. We do not have them in Pandan. But I heard them in other churches. They come, they make sure you know, because they have the money. If I leave, my money leave with me, you need me for your tithe and offering. And the pastor is afraid because his salary may be affected. And so he dare not offend such individuals. Strength and courage can come from money. And of course, strength and courage can also come from positions of power. Government officials with the military behind you. You don't toe the line. You see what Putin is doing. Does he not have strength and courage? He has the mighty Russian army at his disposal. That's his strength and courage. And he dared to just say what he wants, and he will do what he thinks is good for himself and for Russia, and he doesn't care what the rest of the world thinks. And he now caused the death of thousands of his own people and the Ukrainians. Strength and courage is seen everywhere. And that's why it is so dangerous for us sometimes to forget that the source of our strength and courage is the one who saved us. That's why God said to Joshua, you have to earn the title, my servant. Did he earn it at the end of his life? If you recall what we studied the last time on Joshua chapter 24, did he earn it? Look at verse 29 of Joshua 24. And it came to pass after these things that Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. He earned it. But it took him his entire lifetime of service and obedience. And that's what the New Testament tells us. When you meet the Lord Jesus Christ, will he say to you, well done, my good and faithful servant, my good and faithful servant. Just as he said to Joshua, Moses, my servant. And we need to have the knowledge, the conscious knowledge that the source of my strength and courage is God, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And along the way, with all the cares of the world and the burdens and the responsibilities of financial and all sorts, it can become a distraction and make us forget. The source of my strength and courage is in nothing else but Jesus Christ, my Lord, my God, my Savior. Nobody else. And the moment we forget, we'll slide. That's how backsliding begins. And the more money you have, the more dangerous you will find yourself in. Because you become more confident. You have all the voices of the world telling you that you have to have so much money with inflation and with all the economic problems to maintain your present lifestyle. Because maintaining your present lifestyle is very important for all of us. And that's why we have to say, maintaining my present lifestyle is not important. Doing what Christ wants me to do is most important. Maintaining my lifestyle is not even on my list of important things. You have to do that. When someone comes into full-time ministry, Let's say I come into full-time ministry and I live in a condominium with my wife and my child, let's say. And I'm still paying for my condominium. And I come into full-time ministry and then I write to the board of elders, the Lord has called me, I'm going to resign my job. Please, pray for me. I need the Lord's, I need your blessing. And so we interview, etc., etc. Well, he says he's called. You never know, right? I mean, he says he's called. And so, all right, go to FEBC, apply, got in, approve, testimony of salvation, testimony of calling, he got in. And what are you going to do as the board of elders? He says he's called. He still need to pay maybe, what, $1,500, $2,000 a month for his condominium. Is the board of elders supposed to what? Take over and help him maintain his lifestyle? He said he's called. He all gave his blessing. Are you going to continue to give? To help him maintain his present lifestyle? Or he say he's called. Then let the test of his call. Is he prepared to downgrade? Sell his condominium? He's a Singaporean. He can very well buy an HDB flat now. Maintaining our lifestyle is the best formula to cause us to forget that the source of my strength and courage is the Lord. And if he calls you, you must be prepared to sacrifice anything and everything in order to earn the title from him, my servant. And to do that, you have to always remember the source of your strength and courage. Money will try to find its way into your heart. And as you work hard, you're going to have more money in the bank. And every time you see it increases, and then you look around your friends and your colleagues, your contemporaries, and they kept on upgrading their standard of living, and then you do not. You feel very strange and very uncomfortable going out with them and rubbing shoulders with them, and all these will impact you. And then you little by little may forget the source of my strength and courage. Joshua needed to learn that in order to earn the title servant of the Lord. Or is it servant of money, servant of something else or someone else? That's the beginning of this phrase, quit ye like men, be strong and of a good courage. And that's how the Lord started with Joshua. And that's what the Lord wants for us as well. You look at your families, you look at your children, you look at all the financial burdens that you have put yourself in. Are you prepared to bring them down and to scale down, as it were, to make sure that you do not put yourself in a position where you forget the Lord Jesus Christ is the source of my strength and courage, and now I need to turn to money in order to help me little by little to reduce my financial burden? All you need is to lower your standard of living and stop comparing with your neighbor. You don't need to. You do what the Lord has called you to do, and you find your strength and your confidence in the Lord, not in your bank account and not in what the people think of you, not the world thinks of you, but what the Lord alone thinks of you, because you are his servant and it takes a lifetime to earn that title from him. That's when people want to introduce us, servant of the Lord, I cringe. The moment they say, so-and-so is coming to share with us and he is the servant of the Lord, do I dare to say that I've earned that title from the Lord? You can call me whatever you want. If the Lord doesn't say that you are his servant, the whole world may vote on it and say that you are. If the Lord doesn't say so, we are not. And his evaluation of us is the only evaluation that matters. You know that. That's why we have to begin with the source, and we have to drive that into our psyche. Don't ever forget that the strength of our courage is the Lord, not your skill, not your experience, not your money, not your connection. None of these things must even have 1%, 0.1% of your confidence in strength and courage other than the Lord Jesus Christ, who saved you, died for you, rose from the dead for you, and he alone must be the one that you lean upon and nobody else and nothing else. That's what the Lord wanted Joshua to know. You have a calling. You have taken over what Moses, my servant, failed to do. You know Moses sinned against God, right? He was told to speak to the rock. He smote it not once, but twice. Twice means double disobedience. He prayed for the Lord to be merciful, to please, Lord, let me enter and finish the mission that you called me to do 40 years ago. The Lord said, no. Stop this prayer. I'm not going to answer this prayer, but I will let you have a glimpse of what was on the other side of the River Jordan. And God let him see that. And that was it. That's why at the end of Moses' life, the Lord made it very clear. Don't you use any other excuse for your failure, Moses. You know, as you grow older and older and older, and he was 120 years old by the time the Lord took him home. 40 years under Pharaoh's training, 40 years under the Lord's training, looking after father-in-law's sheep in the backside, the Midian part of the wilderness. And then the next 40 years, trying to bring God's people into the promised land, and then he fell short. And the Lord makes sure, don't you dare say that, well, I'm old, I'm frail, that's why I cannot bring you in. It's going to be a fierce battle. Joshua, the younger man, the stronger man, he'll take over. That's why the Lord said, your eyes are not dim, your body is not frail. Don't you use your physical ailment and weakness as an excuse not to finish the project. Now, Joshua, you're taking over the calling. And we have to understand that you are saved by the Lord and left behind with a calling too. Of course, not to the scale of Joshua and Moses, obviously, because the whole world's salvation is in their hands, in their obedience. We don't have that honor and privilege, but that does not mean that even though the numbers are smaller, the number of lives of men, women, and children under our care are smaller, fewer in number, it doesn't mean that it is less significant. They are still souls of human beings. And therefore, you have to know your calling. Why have God saved you and left you behind? You've got to ask your Lord. And there are many different aspects. For some of us, you have already retired. Your job situation is, door is closed. It's over. But as family men, you have your family to look after and you are a grandparent. You have your grandchildren included now. Larger family, your responsibility to make sure that you remain strong and courageous to the very last breath or until the Lord returns. And for some of you young people, you have started, you're beginning to start life. Build good, strong foundation. If the Lord tarries, look around you, you're going to be like your dad one day, you're going to be like your grandfather one day, and some of those who are in the golden years one day, if the Lord tarries, and they will no longer be around to guide you, to shield you, to protect you, and very soon you're going to have responsibilities like Joshua looking after souls, and there'll be no one above you to shield you. And so you have to learn well and be prepared for this day if the Lord tarries. Your calling. The Lord saved you and left you behind. There must be a reason why your Heavenly Father will do that to you. He could have easily taken you home after you were born again, before you became a father, before you became a husband, before you became a grandfather. He could have done that. He did not leave you behind to enjoy this world, because in heaven you're going to have a greater enjoyment. No devil, no demon, no death, no disease, none of all the ills and the wickedness of this earth. It's a far safer and a far better place to be in heaven. But the Lord says, not time yet, my child. That's why you have to know your calling. Joshua understood the call of my teacher Moses was done. He made a very grievous mistake at the tail end, very close to the finishing line. 39th year of faithful service and one moment of frustration, he lost it all, as it were. I mean, he didn't lose it all in a sense, but he could not finish the mission. He was going so well and so strong, He conquered the 2.5 tribe side, the Transjordan side, now the Cisjordan, the 9.5 tribe side. He should have and he could have completed, but that's why we warn those who are senior adults and golden years, please be very, very much on guard. Finish the race in victory, not crawl through in stumbling. Moses stumbled. And so Joshua observed, Joshua must learn. Now you have taken over the calling. And so the Lord said, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. So you basically continue on where your teacher Moses started and failed to complete. From the wilderness of this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. So now the calling, the nature of what you're supposed to do, the domain of where you're supposed to conquer, are all listed out by God. And so when you think of verse 9, which you have memorized, the last part, be not dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Whithersoever thou goest is mentioned in verse 3 and verse 4. It doesn't mean that you go to China, you go anywhere else, and I'll be with you. That's not what verse 9 meant. Verse 9 basically means, where I sent you, that area of ministry, it's going to be yours. You're going to be victorious in doing what I sent you to do in the domain that I have placed you to conquer. You can do whatever you like and then say, well, the Lord is going to give me strength and courage. Don't be afraid. Go anywhere you like. No. It's not a blank check. God has written to you on the check the amount, the location, and that's where you're supposed to do. And in that area, I will give you strength and courage. You go outside of it that I did not design for you, I did not give to you, you don't go. You do my will. That's why the calling, the source and then the calling, you have to know. And for us today, God has revealed to us an additional guidance. Look at your spiritual gifts. If you are married, if you have children, the Lord wants you to be a godly father, a godly husband. No two ways about it. Otherwise, He will not allow you to be married. He will not have given you children. Because the Lord has assured us, I will never, never tempt you above that which you are able to bear. In other words, I will not put you into a trial, into a situation where I know your faith is not strong enough to bear it. I'm faithful. 1 Corinthians 10:13. I know your strength of faith. And therefore, when I make you a husband, when I make you a father, I know you can be a godly husband and a godly father. The question is, do you trust me enough to be such? These are people under your care, your calling. There are people under your care that you have to look after. The Lord Jesus Christ told the disciples, be faithful in the least, which means your material responsibilities, so that you can be faithful in the much, souls of men, women, and children. That's eternal. The least in every believer's life would be material things, your house, your car, everything that you can touch with your hands. They should be the least important in our lives now as Christians. Before salvation, they were the most important. That's why you measure yourself by the things that you possess. You live in a landed property worth millions of dollars in one of these very, very well-known expensive districts where all these good-class bungalows are located. You are in a very, very nice position and you measure yourself by the abundance of what you possess. And so you feel good about yourself because only a few percentage of Singaporeans can live in GCB. And I am part of that few, part of the upper echelon, those percentage, and you feel good about yourself. Those things must be now completely insignificant. Not even placed in the back burner. You put them all the way back into the least important in your life. And then what is most important? Souls of men and women and children under your care and your ministries. that the Lord has given you the spiritual gifts for you to use them and exercise them to its fullest for the blessing of God's people to the glory of God. That's your calling. You have to know the domain of where you are to serve. And if you are married with young children, that's part of your domain, one part of it. And in the church, where are you serving? You have to pray and ask the Lord to show you. The Lord did not bring you into this church. The Lord did not leave you behind and then do nothing. You have to know so that your life will mean something to yourself, to the Lord, and to the people around you. You cannot just simply come and then do nothing. Come and do nothing. You're going to pray where the Lord wants you to serve. If it is in this church, then be committed, be devoted, and give your best. And that's what the Lord wanted from Joshua. That's why the Lord gave him the domain, the territory, the size, so that it will be so much better and easier for Joshua. He doesn't have to guess. He doesn't have to figure out where. It's there. And it'd be so much easier for him to be a leader to tell the Israelite, this is going to be the boundaries of our conquest. If the Lord asks you to take charge of the YF, then all those in the church that belong to the youth age group, encourage them, spur them on. YAF, you have that burden? Because we all make differently. There are some individuals who have the patience of but Job, suffered so long, so much, in looking after old folks. See, old folks are like big grown-up children, right? The only difference is they're not so cute and they're very heavy. Because some of them need your help. Because when I watch, as I walk around my HDB estate, I see the maids pushing little ones in the pram. I turn around the corner, I see the maid pushing older ones in a wheelchair. Same thing, isn't it? Bigger size, wheelchair, bigger. The pram, smaller. Isn't that what life is? You begin in a pram, then as you grow older and older, you're going to end in a pram. But we call it a wheelchair. There are some people who are called to look after the elderly folks, and they have patience upon patience. They can't stand children. They don't have the same patience when they see children. Oh yeah, they get upset. But then there are those who are the patients who look after the little ones. They may walk out of the house very dull and very troubled, but the moment they see a lot of children in the kindergarten or in the children's ministry, wow, it brightens them up. They see all the young faces, all this, suddenly they become very happy and very excited. But you ask them to look after the old folks? No, thank you. They see them, they feel very sad. One day I'm going to be like that. I'm scared. So they don't have the calling to look after the old folks, but little ones, they love them. Know your calling. Where does the Lord want you to serve? Your passion. The Lord did not miss you and forget to give you a spiritual gift, because the Lord assured us in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, every believer left behind on earth has been given at least one spiritual gift by God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And if you are truly born again in Christ, don't you dare say, I don't have one. It's as good as saying to the Lord, Lord, you didn't save me. But he did he not? And then you forget me? Did he forget you? He never forgets. He saved you, and he gave you a spiritual gift. And that spiritual gift came the moment you became a spiritual person. And don't confuse a spiritual gift with a talent. A talent is what God gives to every human being, believer and unbeliever alike, for you to live on this earth so that you can earn a living to keep body and soul together. Spiritual gifts are for spiritual purposes, spiritual activities, spiritual blessing. And unbelievers do not have spiritual gift, even though they have the natural talent. Don't confuse the two. And if you're truly born again, you have to know what that spiritual gift is, regardless of your age. As long as you're strong and healthy and you can walk around, you must use your spiritual gift as long as you are breathing. And be a blessing and serve the Lord so that at the end of your life, the Lord will look at you and welcome you and call you what? My servant. You cannot be strong and courageous if you don't even know where your domain of service is, where your calling is. Strong and courageous in what? Every soldier, in order for them to demonstrate strength and courage, must know where their enemy is, where their domain of service. Strong and courage is like a bodybuilder. I remember reading a commentary. World champion, Mr. Universe, came online in a talk show. Walk up, all very tight fitting outfit, all his bulging muscle seen. And then after, during the part of the interview, you demonstrate to us some of your strength and might. Look up, wow, the audience clap. No, all those things. Then the interviewer say, what else? To show again. What else? That's all he did. He just show you how big his muscles are. Is that strength and courage? Did he do anything? Did he run very fast? Was he skillful in using the racket? None of these things. He just did it. That is not the strength and courage the Lord wants you to just do this. I'm strong and courageous. The source is God. You have to know the domain of your calling where your strength and courage is going to be impacted, impacting the lives of people. That's what strength and courage is. It's not for you to put it on a pedestal, on a shelf, lock it up in a safe. My strength and courage is in my safe. The strength and courage is when you confront enemies, when you become a blessing to people. Your strength and courage must be used and must be felt by others. Not just for show, for people to clap hands, like a bodybuilder, that kind of strength and courage that what blesses nobody, seriously, nobody, other than just put him on a pedestal and that's it, for decoration. The strength and courage of a laborer in the farm. You see how many acres he has farmed. You see how many ditches he dug up. Strength and courage, dug up ditches, built roads, build bridges, strength and courage. People benefit from them. The strength and courage of a bodybuilder, nobody benefits. It's just, what? Some of them don't even consider it as beautiful, these things. It's ugly. But that's not the strength and courage the Lord wants. That's why he gave you a domain where you are supposed to use it. That's what, Joshua, you are supposed to conquer. And where you go, I will be with you. And that brings us to the assurance. The assurance, verse 5 and verse 6. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. You think that is only for Joshua? That's for every Christian. You are doing God's work in God's domain with God as your backer. God is your source of your strength. Who can be stronger than him? Who can be greater than him? No one. What he assured Joshua here is our assurance too, but it all depends on whether we remember that God is the source of my strength and courage, and whether where I am serving, what I'm doing, is the Lord's calling for me. And that's where I know I cannot fail, because this is God's work and I'm doing God's will. How can it fail? Because if I fail, that means God has failed. Someone is greater and stronger than God, and he can stop God from doing his work through me. And that, the Lord says, will never happen. You have to know that. God gave you a family. God wants you to bring your family up in the fear and nurture of the Lord. That's your domain. No one can fail and cause you to fail unless you choose to do it another way. And if your family is not brought up properly, you have no one to blame. You can't even blame the devil and your enemies. You can't blame the world but yourself, because you didn't trust the Lord enough. You didn't look to the Lord as the source of your strength and courage, and you capitulated and you replaced him with something or someone else as the source of your confidence and your strength, and now you're paying the price, and your family, your children, they are the casualties because of your failure as a father and as a husband. And you look at your children and now they are wayward and they're lovers of the world, and now you are trying inside. A moral failure. One parent, I don't want to tell you the name, came to me and said, I regretted sending my children overseas. They had a lot of money, multimillionaire. And all the children are now lovers of the world, in positions of responsibility, high flyers. And they regretted it. I regret it. Then they walk to our church kindergarten and they look at the kindergarten teachers. Some of them are church members. That's what my children should be doing, impacting the lives of little ones for Christ. And now their children overseas, no good churches there. They did very well in the studies, come back with overseas degrees, high flyers, got good jobs, promoted very fast, very quickly, impacting the world for what? And the children are also multimillionaire now. For what? For the world that will one day be owned by the Antichrist and destroyed and burned by fire. And they came down and they look, kindergarten teachers teaching the children, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. My children should be doing this. Great. Instead of impacting the lives for Christ, they have geared their children, pushed them in the direction which they thought was best until regret sets in. Trying to now rein them back in, encourage them and tell them to come back to church for worship, falling on deaf ears. Nobody was listening. The children were not interested. Not interested. The parents are gone now. Children are still very much in the world, so-called flying high, in their high positions, high posts. I mentioned their names, you know them. But what's the point? Learn from the mistakes. The source, God, don't forget. Your life is a calling. The domain that the Lord has put you in is from the Lord. If it is not, get out of it. If it is, the Lord says, I give you my assurance, you cannot fail. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. You're doing my work. Why would I fail you? Why would I forsake you? I called you. I will empower you. I will strengthen you. I will give you all that you need for you to succeed. I will not fail you. I will never forsake you. You'll never do it alone. I promise. And therefore, be strong and of a good courage and trust me. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. So you are now doing my work. They are my people. And I'm going to give them this land so that they will be my nation. And one day the Lord Jesus Christ will be a part of this nation. He'll be born in this nation. You cannot fail, Joshua, unless you yourself choose to fail by your disobedience. Your enemy will not be strong enough to stop you. God will never fail you. And then why do I fail sometimes? You don't trust the Lord. You are not strong and courageous enough to trust in Him for the Lord to hold your hand and to see you through. And sometimes you have to make painful and hard decisions, as you can see from Joshua's life. Painful, hard decisions you have to make. You think it was easy to wipe out the family of Achan, remember? He did not know that Achan had stolen from the city of Jericho what the Lord had put under Harem. Harem means it's devoted to me. Anyone who takes anything from the city of Jericho is stealing from God. And Achan saw and he liked it. He squirreled it away and he buried it under his tent with his family's help. There's no way he could bury all those precious stuff under his tentage without his whole family's knowing. And so they became partaker of his sin. And now Achan dragged his whole family into sin because of Achan, they all love all those items that he stole from God. And then when they attacked the next city, Ai, full of self-confidence, they were defeated. And then Joshua cried to the Lord, you did not fulfill your promise. How did we fail? And so on. You know what the Lord said to Joshua? Stop praying. Have you not learned during the past 40 years with Moses? Have you not learned that every time there was death in the time of Moses, it was because of what? Sin. I promised Moses the same thing I promised you. I will be with you. I will never forsake you. Everywhere you go where I wanted you to go, you will never fail. And why did Moses fail? Why did people die? Because they sinned. So why did the people die when they attacked Ai? Because there is sin. So you stop praying and you start sanctifying. And that's exactly what he did. And then by drawing lots one by one, which tribe fell all the way to Achan? Which tribe, after they chose which tribe, which clan, which family in the clan? And one by one, and then Achan was caught. Whole family were killed. Easy to do? No. Painful? Yes. Strong and courageous. You've got to do what is right. Strength and courage in doing what is right for your family, for yourself, and for everyone in your charge and in your care. God gave you the assurance. You cannot fail, but you have to be strong and courageous to do what is right. What may not be happy to the people, but you have to do what is right. If in the course of doing what is right, you hurt your loved one, hurt your children, but it is right according to Scripture, you still got to do it. That's strength and courage. You don't capitulate and then pander to your children or whoever's fantasies. And you know that they are wrong and they are carnal. You don't pander to them. You have to be strong and courageous to stand your ground, and you are father. You are husband. Be father, be husband, and take the lead. Take the lead. Your wife will tell you things. Your wife will ask you to do certain things. And they will perhaps try to be the puppet master and you are the puppet. You have to stop that. When I walk in here this morning, he asked me, am I staying back for lunch? I say yes. Then I also added, my wife asked me to stay. But she did. Because she knows me. She knows my weakness. I am a very shy person. I'm not good in conversation. Not with people that I'm more familiar with, I'm more relaxed, and I talk a little bit more. But by and large, I'm not a good conversationalist. I usually tend to keep quiet, and I like to be alone most of the time. I like to be alone. That's why when I went to my first church, you know that I sat alone for one whole year? Later on, some of them told me that we observe you. You sit there by yourself. They all thought that I will never make it. I will probably walk away and give up Christianity, give up church. I did not. I like to be alone. My whole life I've been alone. After my dad passing, I've even been more alone. That's the way I am, and so my wife knows me. As a pastor, you cannot be like that. You've got to go out and talk to people. And that's why you say, you stay back for lunch. Talk to people. So I will try to talk to all of you. I'll try. But I've got to be very careful. I don't have friends, like I shared with you. Because all of you are God's children. And I have to watch over you and take care of your spiritual life. I have to answer to him one day. So I will try. But if your wife asks you to do certain things that crosses the line to usurp your authority, you've got to tell her nicely, enough. Thank you. Don't go on. Enough. Same with the children. If they are going to do something that is wrong, as they grow older and older, as long as they're living under your roof, you are still the head. See that very clearly in the Old Testament. When a daughter marries out and she makes a vow, the husband now takes over. Whether the husband allows her to keep the vow or not. Husband dies. She comes back and lives with you. Now she makes a vow. She's under your care again. You now have overseer over her condition and her spiritual well-being and her behavior and her conduct. As long as the children are living under your roof, you're still the father, you're still the head. Whatever nonsense and whatever sinful, carnal things they want to do, you have to put a stop to it, even though they are adults. You cannot pander, you cannot condone. You have to be the leader. Because the Lord assured you, I will never fail you. And if you ever fail, you can't blame the devil. And blame the world, you definitely cannot blame God for not keeping his assurance, his guarantee. But yourself, that you did not trust him enough. You did not have the strength and courage to stand up to your daughter, to your son, to your wife. You didn't have the strength and courage to stand up and say what you need to say and get back your leadership. You have to. For their sake, for yourself's sake, and for the Lord's sake who called you. The source is God. Don't ever replace him and forget him. Know your calling and know the assurance that the Lord has given to you. You cannot fail doing God's work where God wants you to serve unless you deliberately disobey him and don't trust him enough and you do your own thing. That's when you're going to fail. The Lord will never fail. And finally, you have to have the right method. Verse 7 to verse 9. The method behind our strength and courage. All right, we talk a lot about strength and courage. We talk about the source. We talk about the domain, the calling where you're supposed to exercise the strength and courage. And then we talk about God's assurance that you cannot fail. And now how and where do I get my strength and courage? Well, verse 7 to verse 9. Is the method on how you get the strength and courage to do all the rest. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. So it's the word of God. The strength and courage is in obeying God's word. That's the method of your strength and courage. Not go to the gym somewhere and be physically ripped in your six-pack. It's the word of God, which Moses, my servant, commanded thee at that point in time, only 5 books. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. The rest of the Bible not written yet. But from our perspective, it's the 66 books of the Bible. Which Moses, my servant, commanded thee, turn not from it to the right hand nor to the left for anyone, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. You see? The method of our strength and courage is the Bible. Not your philosophies, not your ideas. The more you know the Bible, the more you are able to know what your strength and courage is. Because I'm doing what the Bible says, and I will never be wrong. That's my confidence, that's my strength and courage. And therefore, you need to study the Bible, please. That's why we try our best to have as many Bible studies as possible and to make sure that the teachers who teach are proper. Sometimes they make mistakes and we'll try our best to go back and correct them and help them. We also understand the danger of having Bible study for Bible study's sake. Because in my previous church, that's how charismatism infiltrated into the church to destroy it, through some of these Bible studies that were left unchecked. They introduced charismatic teachers, they introduced charismatic speakers through the videotape in those days. And then they started to watch and they started to believe in them, and so some of these Bible study groups started to speak in tongues. And they imbibed and brought in and introduced charismatic practices through this Bible study. It became a channel for the enemies to infiltrate. So we also understand the danger of having Bible study simply for Bible study's sake without any oversee, to make sure that the teachers are sound, that they teach God's word properly, that are according to what we believe in. And not just anyone, because they can also become avenues, trapdoors that will snare God's people. That's what we have, to protect one another. If you are in any of these Bible studies, be discerning, be alert. Don't be afraid to ask questions. Know the word of God well, and this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. That means all the days of your life as a servant of the Lord, you have to know scripture. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. You see, that's the method. Very simple. Every one of us can do it. All you need to do is to set aside time that is comfortable, that is suitable for your spiritual level, for the faith that you are at. If you are a babe in Christ, only involve yourself in a Bible study program that is suitable for your level. This is very good common sense. Your children are preparing for PSLE. You don't try to teach your children those subjects that are for A-level. Your child will collapse. Your child will say to mom and dad, "What is this, mom? I don't know anything." You prepare your child according to PSLE level. What is your spiritual level? Don't compare, please. We are all different. We learn differently. We all have different spiritual gifts. And even though we may have the same spiritual gifts, the Lord gives it to us in different degrees. How many of them can preach like Spurgeon? Only Spurgeon. How many of them have the fiery power and the demeanor of John Song? Only John Song. So don't try to imitate Spurgeon. Don't try to imitate John Song. You are not. We are not. Just be yourself. Be the one that the Lord has uniquely saved and called and prepared and spiritually gifted. And then be contented and be as godly as you can, because godliness with contentment is great gain. Don't compare. The moment you compare, you will cross the line and compete. Don't. We are not competitors. We are all brothers and sisters in Christ. We are all a family of God. We are not competitors. We are family. And as a family, we help one another. We don't hurt one another. We don't bring each other down. We're supposed to build each other up. And that's what we are supposed to do. You struggle with some family problem. Others have gone through it. They have found a solution. They'll be more than happy to help you find the same solution to the same problem. Of course, you apply it in a different way because your children are different. We help. The strength and courage is in the Word of God. The more you know God's Word, the more you apply God's Word into your heart, the more you obey it, the better you will be, the stronger you will be, because that's where the strength and courage lies, in God's Word. You know, one session member shared with me, not from our church, another church. In the past, when I attended session meeting, I dare not speak up. And the pastor says this, the pastor says that, I just sat there and I just kept quiet. And then he started to study God's Word. He started to study God's Word in some of the classes in FEBC. And then one day, after some time, he shared with me, something changed in me. Now I know exactly what I need to say during session meeting. I know exactly when the pastor makes a certain suggestion, I know that this is not the right suggestion, this is not the right way, and now I have the courage to speak up. Because now I know what the Bible says is the right thing to do, and that gives me the courage to speak up. Before that, I want to speak up. I do not know how to speak up. I do not know what to say because I do not know what is the right thing. I know that something is not right, but I do not know the right thing, and therefore I kept quiet. But the more I study God's word, the more aware I am of the truth. It naturally gave me the strength and the courage to speak up. That is not unique to him. That is common to all of us as God's children, because the promise and the assurance that he gave to Joshua, he gives to every Christian, his servant. The more you study the Bible, the more you know what is right. He will give you the courage. The moment you say it, you know this is the right thing. But before that, you're not sure. And when you're not sure, of course you wouldn't want to say, because you're not sure. But the moment you know the Bible, you realize that most things in life are either black or white. Black I do, black I don't do. Very simple. That's why the more you know the Bible, the better you'll be, the more courageous and the stronger you'll be. You know how to be a better husband because I know what the Bible says a husband ought to be. You'll be a better father because I know what the father ought to be in God's eyes. And I will know what to say because I know God's word now, what a father ought to do. But if you do not know the role of a Christian husband, a Christian father, a Christian servant, a Christian elder, a Christian deacon, what your roles are, what your duties are, of course you're going to be frightened and nervous. You dare not speak up because you do not know. The world will not know because in the world, everything is subjective. They don't have absolute. In the Bible, everything is plain and clear and everything is, thus said the Lord. It's so simple. And since you are doing God's work, you're looking after your family, which belongs to the Lord, is it so hard for you to be strong and courageous in saying what the Lord wants you to say? Is he not your God and your master who sent you? He is. And then say it with confidence, with authority, with courage. Have I not commanded thee? That's for all of us. Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid. Neither be thou dismayed, scared. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Now remember, the whithersoever thou goest is within the domain where the Lord has called you. Not anywhere. Don't be afraid. Now we know we are all fearful people. All of us are, no exception. And so courage is not in the absence of fear. We know that too. Courage is, don't let fear stop us from doing and saying what is right. That's what it means not to fear the Lord. And be strong and courageous. Quit ye like men. Know the source. Know your calling. Know the assurance. And know the method, the word of God. Let us pray. Almighty God, our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank and praise Thee for Thy mercies and Thy goodness and Thy patience and long-suffering in dealing with all of us. You have given to us many responsibilities, especially the souls of men, women, and children, our families, our loved ones, our friends, our relatives, our colleagues. Help us, O Lord. For they are given to us for us to share Christ with them. And for those who are your children already, you have given us the honor and the privilege to provoke them unto love and to good works. May we be encouraged, may we be strengthened in the inner man to know that you have given to us all that we need to be faithful servants, so that one day, at the end of our lives, we will stand before thee and earn the title because of our faithful service according to scriptures and be called your servant. We thank thee, Father, for the word of everlasting life and the testimonies of Moses and Joshua and how you have recorded them for our instruction, for our learning, for our example. Help us, O Lord, to be teachable and grant us the strength and the courage to do what is right for the blessing of all you have put under our care and for ourselves and for thy glory. Forgive us, O Lord, of all our sins. In Jesus' name we give thanks and pray. Amen.